Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, also Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And we are here once again to break down all the latest news in the cancer world this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Brielle, it has been another eventful week, but then again, every week is an eventful week, and I'm really happy to be breaking down the news with you again.
Absolutely.
Last week brought the approval of two new cancer therapies, as well as some data about the ongoing cancer drug shortage and which groups of patients may be affected most. Also, we hear Cure spoke to an expert about how sexual activity, while not a requirement, may help follow-up exams be more comfortable for cervical cancer survivors. First, let's talk a bit about the latest news of the about the chemotherapy shortage.
Thanks, Alex. So despite a lot of initiatives from the federal government that we saw outlined back in September, the chemotherapy shortage, mainly the drugs cisplatin and carboplatin, though we have seen some methotrexate shortages as well, it continues. Most recently, a survey from the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network found that patients who are insured by Medicaid are actually three times more likely to be affected by the chemo shortage than individuals who get their health insurance through their employer. So findings, which I spoke to an expert about this week, also showed that 38% of patients who experienced delays in treatment had delays that lasted a month or more. So we know that that could be really anxiety-inducing, potentially, you know, affect outcomes as well. Also, 35% of patients surveyed said that they had difficulty getting insurance to fill a prescription related to the shortage. So that could be the drug itself. That could also be a different drug that perhaps clinicians are assigning or prescribing out, rather, because they cannot get the cisplatin or carboplatin or methotrexate drugs that are currently in shortage. And as I mentioned, back in September, the White House did outline some steps that they're taking to try to mitigate this ongoing chemotherapy drug shortage. And also, you know, there are drug shortages happening in other spaces outside of oncology too. So the White House said that they along with the FDA, is collaborating with healthcare providers and drug manufacturers to try to bring more of these drugs to the people who need them most.
And as we at Cure have been reporting, it is possible for these drug shortages to come to an end. Recently, Pluvicto, the FDA confirmed that the Pluvicto shortage had been resolved. So that appears to be back up to a normal supply. So I guess that's also an important thing to put out there, is that these shortages are not going to last forever, and that there are ways for them to come to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. And the experts I've spoken to so far since the summer covering this issue have said, like, drug shortages this isn't a new issue. It's just that this one seems, you know, particularly impactful, particularly bad. So hopefully, you know, steps keep on being taken to resolve this and get the drugs to the people who need them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now pivoting over to the FDA, the first of the two FDA approvals within the last week happened on last Monday, October 30th, when the agency approved Loqtorzi plus the chemo drugs gemcitabine and cisplatin for the treatment of patients with metastatic or recurrent locally advanced nasopharyngeal carcinoma. The drug was also approved on Monday as a single agent, that means given alone, for patients with unresectable recurrent or metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma that got worse on or after receiving platinum-based chemotherapy. The Loqtorzi chemotherapy combination, this was based off of findings from the JUPITER-02 trial, while the Polaris-02 trial led to the single agent approval. The former found that Loqtorzi containing regimen improved progression-free survival, which is the time from treatment until the disease worsens or the patient dies, compared to treatment with placebo plus chemo drugs, while the latter showed improved response rates for Loqtorzi. So again, as we're talking about platinum-based chemotherapy being in short supply, the approval of this drug, Loqtorzi, seems particularly promising. Seems like particularly good news for this patient population.
Absolutely. And moving on to our second FDA approval of last week, which happened on Wednesday, we saw that the FDA approved Keytruda, which is an immunotherapy drug, plus two chemotherapy drugs, so gemcitabine and cisplatin, so that kind of three drug combination, for the treatment of patients with locally advanced or unresectable metastatic biliary tract cancer. So this approval now was based on findings from the phase 3 KEYNOTE-966 trial, which showed that overall survival, now that's the time from treatment until patients die of any cause. So overall survival was better with the Keytruda-containing regimen than it was for just the chemotherapy duo alone. Notably, though, there was a significant difference in progression-free survival between the two regimens. So essentially, that means that patients tended to experience disease progression at or about a similar time. However, patients who got the Keytruda-containing regimen, they ended up living longer than those who just got chemotherapy. Trial results also showed that there was a higher percentage of patients in the Keytruda group whose disease completely disappeared. So we call that a complete response rate. So again, some good news for patients with locally advanced metastatic biliary tract cancer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things we like to do here at Cure is bring you inside perspectives, expert voices, and one of our colleagues, Ashley Chan, recently spoke to an expert who brought some insight from the gynecologic cancer space, where recent research presented at the American Society for Radio-Oncology annual meeting found that cervical cancer follow-up appointments may be more comfortable or tolerable for patients who are sexually active. Now, Ashley spoke with one of the study's authors, Dr. Catherine Hertschiner, who mentioned that sexual activity is by no means necessary for this patient population. She understands that the disease and its treatments can affect libido and make sex physically uncomfortable. However, if patients with gynecologic cancers are experiencing sexual side effects, they should certainly bring it up to their healthcare providers.
I completely understand. This must be so awful for patients. You know, they have my full understanding and empathy how difficult this might be to bring up proactively. And I'm more a fan of the medical healthcare team should bring it up proactively. It should be their responsibility to regularly also ask about sexual health and sexual dysfunctions and if there is anything, how they can support the patients. But on the other hand, it's completely fine for the patients to bring it up. And the medical doctors should be able to handle that question also. So they should not be scared. It's much better to share problems than just to suffer alone, because there's really plenty of help available. There are plenty of things for patients to do and to try out that really work effectively. But if we always keep this as a taboo topic and never dare to talk openly about it, then everyone is suffering quietly. And that's a shame. That should not be.
All right. And that about does it for us this week. Brielle, thanks for breaking down this week in cancer news for me and for our listeners. This is always a pleasure. And there are always very, very exciting developments on the horizon. So folks, if you're out there listening, be sure to stay tuned to curetoday.com and follow us on all social media channels just to make sure you get the latest news.
Absolutely, Alex. Thanks again. And I look forward to chatting next week.
Don't forget, subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.